On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. If you want, you can give us a follow at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio, and hit the archives at tallcanaudio.com. On Skype with us for the first time, it's got to be a month or two now anyway, I'm not sure when the last time was, Maddie Lang. How's it going, man?
Good. I was getting a little lonely.
Well, you know how it is, man. We got to wait for Captain Blowhard to move out of the way, or you two don't play so nice together. So
we got to wait for him to blow off all that steam of that amazing Senator summer.
That's yeah, man. He's just living the life up here. Every one disaster after another every week, man.
I love the early Monday podcast where he's going off and trying to paint a rosy picture about the Senators, too.
Yeah.
That starts my Monday off on the right foot every time.
Well, that's it, right? As you said, we kind of record typically on Sunday afternoon and get stuff out there for Monday morning. And he tries to play it off like he's being objective, right, and talking about the Senators' flaws. But really, he's still protecting them, right? And it's not that bad. And you're like, man, yes, it is. It's a fucking disaster.
He's about as objective as Steve Simmons talking about Phil Kessel in a hot dog cart. Okay?
Yeah, no, it's true. And even the John Tavares stuff we're talking, and he's like, well, it's good, but they're not that. Yeah, okay. A week ago when he wasn't a Leaf, you thought he was like a top three center in the league. Now you hate him. So, fuck, man. We got a lot to cover here, but where do you want to start, man? There's been a ton going on. It's been a good summer so far for the Leafs. There's been a bunch of NBA news. The Jays are depressing as fuck. What's been on your mind?
We might as well start with that. I actually broke my personal not going to buy Jays tickets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I broke my promise this year to myself because Jose Bautista made it into town. And if you're following me on Instagram, I was stalking the poor man. I had row two tickets out in the right field, right behind him.
Jeez. Now, before we get into it too much, you didn't jump the gun too soon and buy Braves tickets when you thought he was coming with them, did you?
No. You know what? It was mostly me being ridiculous and realizing I wanted a really good ticket.
Right.
So looking at the Braves tickets, they were already kind of starting to sell. Couldn't get the tickets I wanted, so I was like, I'll just play it, you know, closer to game day and get StubHub tickets.
Sure, yeah.
So I ended up saving some money. Apparently that Mets or the Atlanta game was pretty well attended just for that reason.
And then he didn't even end up being there. For those who don't know, yeah, Bautista briefly in Atlanta Brave, bunch of Jays fans bought tickets to that game thinking he'd be rolling in with them. They cut him loose and he ended up with the Mets, so a lot of people bought tickets for a meaningless Jays Braves game in what was it, June, I guess, right?
Yeah, almost to a sad point though. The second game, the day game, the second day on the Wednesday against the Braves was actually The Jays always do the school day.
Yep.
In the last week of school. And that was that game.
Okay.
So there, it would have been a full stadium of 50,000 people.
Yeah, it's true, eh? And it's always it's like those Marlies games that are in the, like, they start at like 11 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
And when you see the highlights, you're watching them on TV and the crowd is so high pitched, but it's because, like, everybody's under 10 years old. It's
right.
Just screaming and screaming and screaming.
None of the guys' voices have dropped yet.
Yeah, exactly. You always get a couple of those during the Jays season. It's camp day or school day or whatever's going on.
But I got to say, the Jays are horrid, just to confirm what everybody already knows. There's no way that a guy like Jose could not be on this team. They're so pathetic at hitting.
He's had a he's not killing it or anything, but he's not batting like 250 kind of thing. Like
I think he's still batting about 235, but his OPS is up in 850.
Right.
Which if it's not leading the Jays, it's maybe number two behind Teoscar.
Sure.
I heard some guys on the radio debating how good Devin Travis is as a hitter and whether you need to make him a DH because his OPS is 800. And I'm just like, palm to face the whole drive to work. This is just like an outrage to me, but
we could have had that conversation 2 years ago. I'm not having it now.
That's right. Like, what's the state of Blue Jay baseball when we're talking about Devin Travis DHing as a way to make sure he doesn't get injured,
Jesus,
like,
Christ.
We might be, mind you, are we still worrying about Russell Martin playing every position this year? Is that still a thing?
Oh, still half the season to go. I haven't ruled it out, man.
And I mean, the only thing keeping the Jay season remotely interesting right now is the bullpen.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're about to trade each and every one of those pieces for, a number six prospect in somebody's farm system. So it's not about to get any better. So, I'd advise everybody to save their money. Don't buy the $20 beers at Skydome.
Yeah.
Pick up a new sport for this year.
I wonder what your take is on the whole Osuna situation. His suspension, I believe, will end August 4th. My thought has been all along, regardless of what Blue Jays management wants to do and really what they're saying, because publicly they have to say all the right things, and especially if they want to be able to trade him, they can't bury him. My thought is that this comes from much higher than that, and that Rogers will not allow him to be a front-facing guy, right, representing that company. I know they're saying he'll pitch again this year for them. I don't see it. I think he gets dealt before then. What's your take on it?
Wow, set me up with a hard one first, eh? You know what? You really got to – I really have to choose my words carefully here, even though it's amongst friends, right?
Sure.
And it's a question – and I've had this conversation with family members. I've had it with people who are involved, from university sides on, women's studies and stuff. And
yeah,
we really have to be careful from both sides about what we're saying, because he's decided to serve his suspension.
Yep.
But not admit any guilt.
Yep.
In the situation. Strangely, nothing's come out in the public about this yet, which is very strange in this city that we haven't heard anything from anybody. There's been no rumors leaked whatsoever about what might have happened.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very troubling situation for a young guy. He's, correct me if I'm wrong here, 22?
I think he's 23, yeah.
23 this year?
Yeah.
He's a young guy, and this is not to give him like a carte blanche on this, but he's 23. He's never really grown up. He's been playing professional baseball since 15.
Yep.
He's from the poorest area of Juarez in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's been given a ton of money, moderate fame within a city. I know he, from some people who know him or who have known him, that he likes to frequent the bar scene on game days, like afterwards.
Right.
So he's always out and about and partying. There's a chance that he might party too hard. And it may be, again, not knowing what happened, it's still a bad decision he did, right?
Of whatever, course, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Even if it, you know, if it comes out and it's, you know, he's found innocent for whatever, even for a guy like that to put himself in a situation, it's a bad decision, right?
Yep.
We need to stop using the word mistake. It's a bad decision, right? Now he's a young kid, and hopefully he's able to turn his life around. And it's sad. It's also sad to a point that a young guy who might have made one mistake, and not to say that's his one mistake in life, but might lose a career over it. But there's some things you just can't do. You can't kill somebody and, you know, just come back.
Right.
You can't hit a woman and just expect everything to come back around. Now, there might be another team who's going to give him a chance. And I think where the Blue Jays are stuck is there's been no admission of guilt, and he's still legally innocent as far as the court system is concerned. Yep. So if they drop him or they bury him, we know the union's going to come after them. And I think that's where they're probably stuck. Because I don't think a company like Rogers, which is across Canada, wants anything to do with a guy, whatever his circumstances are, who's being accused of domestic battery. I mean, we're seeing this continually happen in the NFL, and for whatever reason in the NFL, they still somehow managed to turn a blind eye to it. It just came out McCoy, the running back.
Yeah, but just what, on Wednesday, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Tuesday, yeah.
And with pictures and
yeah,
and the way the team's already kind of coming behind him is much different. I mean, and without getting into the politics of two different countries, maybe that's part of the difference. And really, up until what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now with Ray Rice, these were non-discussions, right? I mean, guys would serve weak bans. Jose Reyes was in town with the Mets. He served 50 games a couple years ago, left Chapman. Colorado, and everybody just turned a blind eye once they realized he could still play baseball.
Well, I think that's debatable whether he can still play baseball or not. But Aroldis Chapman, right? Still super helpful to somebody. Someone will turn a blind eye, and that's – I think with the point for Rogers for me is when they're a publicly traded company, when they're trying to have this wholesome family image, as you've pointed out, that's a nationwide company and it does things a lot bigger than baseball. They're trying to baseball is just such a small part of that company. I think whether he, even if he, rightly or wrongly, even if it turns out he's acquitted and it's innocent and, you know, it was all made up, which I'm not saying it was, even if that were to happen, I think he's done here. I think Rogers wants nothing to do with any of that sort of stuff in such a public place. They will ship him out to any number of teams that are owned by kind of a single millionaire, right, who's sympathetic or just looking to win. Or when you're owned by a publicly traded company, which is kind of rare in Major League Baseball, it's a very different political game. And rightly or wrongly, I just don't think they'll have any part of this. I think they'll trade him. As you said, they can't bury him because now you're violating all kinds of rules and the union will come after you. But you can trade him and you'll be doing it from a position of weakness where you won't get much back. And he may regain his career and become a dominant closer again, and you'll be left holding the bag. But I think he ends up in whatever, right? Milwaukee or Kansas or somewhere kind of smaller for it to blow over. And it's not so high profile. And
you know what? I mean, for this kid, and he's still a kid, no matter what the bad decisions and the repercussions are going to be, you hope everybody's going to be able to have, and no matter what issues they've committed, you want people to be able to have at least some, you want them to at least show some growth or some remorse.
Yep.
I think, and as bad as the Ray Rice situation is, he might actually be the best example of this, where him and his wife have now become preachers and offer couples counseling. Now, take that for what you want.
Yeah, wow, I had no idea.
I haven't gone to one of their couples counseling.
You and Rob, we'll set you down. And yeah.
Doesn't he need to go?
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, and whether it's in baseball or not, you hope the guy can grow from, again, these decisions he's made, because he was a once in a lifetime type of athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He was primed to set all sorts of records. But that doesn't make you above the law. And you know, where maybe it did 20 years ago. Now you're held to the same standard that everybody else is. And it's a sad situation. And it, you know, in a sad Jays year where he was the one bright spot at the beginning of the year, he's certainly turned into the darkest cloud on this team right now.
Whew. It's true, man. Darkest of a very dark group of clouds. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, well, let's start with LeBron. We've talked a lot about NHL free agency around here, and I do want to get your take on Tavares here shortly, but we didn't get into...
I hope you have laser downs ready for the radio once we start talking about Tavares. Every time for the rest of the summer you say his name, it should just be like, boom, ba 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 ba.
Yeah, man.
You know?
It's true, man, because it's been... Well, one side of the table's been wicked stoked up here, and the other side, not so much in this studio. Yeah, but
we don't care about that side of the table.
That's right, we don't. In terms of the NBA, we probably haven't given it as much attention as we should have. Certainly the biggest one is LeBron to the Lakers for just an ungodly amount of money. I think it was just shy of $40 million a year, is that right?
Yeah, 4 years, 136, 138, something like that.
Jesus Christ. So what is
that's
this?
That's without the shoe deal, too.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And everything else that's coming because you're in Los Angeles. Is this kind of a move that he has made because it's one of those dreams to play in L.A. and be a Laker? Or is this maybe setting up his future, like kind of Kobe did, where now Kobe was a Laker for a long time, but he can be in movies and have that type of career. Or is this a place where he legitimately thinks he can win? Because, man, having to march through the West and, as opposed to the East, completely different ballgame. What is the motivation here?
That's actually a really great question, Matt. Because I think there's two points to that. One is, it's LeBron. You still have the... if not the best player in the league, you know, the 1A or 1B,
sure.
him and Durant, right? So we've seen him trudge bad teams when he was younger through Cleveland into the finals. We've seen it more recently, the last year specifically, take a very bad team with him into the finals.
Yeah.
Even though he had to go through some really tough series to do it as well, not including the Toronto Raptors.
Shatter some Canadian dreams.
Which was just absolutely embarrassing for this franchise. But I think just having LeBron, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, if those guys remain on the team through the summer, you still got a team that's going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Right. What I think has been undersold with him going to LA and going through those tough games is that here in the East, you might play the Raptors and the Celtics back-to-back games, maybe on a trip. But then you get Orlando, and then you get Atlanta, and then maybe you get Charlotte, and you could rest. You can take it easy. You can play half games. You can't do that in the West. You're going to have Houston, then you're going to have San Antonio, and then you're going to have to go through your West Coast swing and hit the Clippers and hit Golden State and then have your one day off against the Sacramento Kings. It's a much tougher travel schedule. He actually came out last playoffs and said, hey, you know, going to these 6-7 games is getting hard for me because I got to keep traveling in between games. Well, in the West Coast, there's a lot more travel you
for
have to
sure.
do. Right? The distance you got to go through, especially being on the farthest end of the West Coast, is insane. Now when you come to Toronto, you're going through a 5-hour flight before you touch down.
Right.
That's going to make – I mean, as a 34-year-old, let me tell you, flying is not fun anymore, right? And I actually fit into those seats.
Yeah, you're not 6'5".
When you're 6'6" and 220, I don't care how custom those seats are and how nice that private jet is. It's still a shitty flight.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see how he actually plays out the year. I'm sure going to LA, he said it's been a dream of his. The Lakers are the premier market, right?
Yeah.
There's three or four teams in basketball kids grow up wanting to play for, at least of a certain age and generation, and the Lakers have always been one. So I don't think he's lying about saying he wanted to play for the Lakers and that's been a dream. But he's going to come out great like he does at the beginning of every season. But it's going to be interesting to see how he's playing into February and March and those dog days of the year where it's going to be a lot of travel. And he's, you know, playing Golden State for the fourth time.
Yeah.
In that year. And Houston for the fourth time that year. It's going to be a little bit of a grind for him. But as a fan, it's actually going to be really interesting and cool to see him go through this at this point of his career now, because I think a lot of us feel that he was able to coast through the Eastern Conference for at least the last 4 years, let's say, right? Without much competition against him.
Right.
Now, why did he go to the Lakers? There's one thing about LeBron that everybody should be very well aware of at this point of his life. He loves to control his own narrative. And he is setting this up to be the last chapter of his career. And he's come out and he said he doesn't want to just be an NBA superstar. He wants to be the first guy to own a team.
Really?
He wants to be a media mogul. He's come out and said this. And one of the great points that I heard on a U.S. station was, who would you go to learn this from? Right? Where in every other, every NBA team is owned primarily by old money.
Yep.
Or tech money. But in all cases, except for I think two, maybe three, it's an old white guy.
Right.
Right? Okay. Yeah, three. Because you're going to count the Raptors or conglomerate. You've got the
Sure, but Larry Tannenbaum's an old white guy, so we'll count it.
That's true. He's still the head, right?
Yeah.
Sacramento Kings, there's a, and I don't even know, I'm going to sound really bad here, but he is a type of brown guy who's into tech who bought them. And then you've got the Lakers, who are actually run by the daughter of
Jeannie Buss.
Jeannie Buss, sorry.
Yep. Look at me.
Linking her name there. I know. Saving my ass there. So you've got her. But who's running that team is Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who was one of the first megastars in the NBA coming out of the 80s into the 90s, even before they were making these huge deals, but was a big star. And he's been able to parlay this into an ownership with the Dodgers. Right?
Yep.
And now he's running his old franchise. So I think he can get some mentoring, whether it's just talking about things or bouncing ideas off of him or learning how to the lay of the land in LA. I think this is where he needs to be in the right setup for him to make his next move, even if he punts this year as a championship contender. I think he's starting to look towards the next step of his life, how to set his family up. And to be a true mogul, right? He, you know, a lot of success is based on where you are and when.
Oh,
and
for sure.
He was lucky enough to come into the league at a time where the salaries have been massive, the shoe deals are massive, but the ability to control your personal brand through social media has been his biggest plus. And he's always had a great team around him. His only big fault was really the decision.
Yeah.
And they were able to actually turn that into a positive at the end of it all. He's primed to do big things once he leaves. The rumors continue to be that he's going to star in Space Jam 2.
Can't wait.
Can't wait, right? And see what Bugs and the crew have up their sleeves for him this time.
I can't tell you how many thousand times I watched that movie as a kid.
And all that's going to do is – and think about what that did for Michael, right? For guys like us who are in our mid-30s who really missed most of what Michael Jordan did on the court.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Right? Most of Michael's great iconic moments, you know, really happened in the late 80s, early 90s. I start to really remember kind of the mid-90s and in his comeback.
Yeah, that's my most prominent memories is kind of the comeback years. And then, unfortunately, the Wizards years.
And then, the really bad Wizard years, unfortunately, right? A couple baseball games there.
Exactly. For sure.
He was at that tail end. So for guys like LeBron now, he's going to be able to take this crew that he has. But now all these kids who are going to be 8 years and under are going to be re-exposed to who LeBron is. And they're not going to care what he did on the court. They're just going to know he was this larger-than-life persona.
Yeah.
Right? And that's going to tie into new movie deals. That's going to tie into whether it's video games. That's going to keep his sneakers and his clothing brands running. And that's just going to continue to go. So this is as much of a branding decision.
For sure.
And almost of a merger. for him.
Merger is an interesting word, man, because that's exactly what this looks like, right? That iconic Lakers logo and now the LeBron brand that moves in there. He's going to be hobnobbing with all those celebs at courtside as opposed to, you know what, Stipe Miocic at courtside at Cleveland games, right?
Exactly.
So, totally different world.
Don't forget the Miz from the WWF showing up too. He's another big Cleveland fan, right?
Oof. Yikes.
But just to that point about mergers, I read this really interesting article today from the soccer world about Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep.
And he just, I can't remember what he transferred for, but he went from Real Madrid to Juve.
Juventus, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. In the Serie A division. The largest transfer ever in Italian history, the largest ever for a 30-something-year-old ever. Regardless of the money they paid, Juventus is a top 10 Forbes-listed soccer team, football team, to be specific, I guess. They said just having Cristiano Ronaldo could increase their value 200 million pounds. If you're talking just straight merger of two brands and the exposure that gives the Juventus brand, what it's going to do for them to bring other players in, jersey sales, etc. You know, and what that does for them going forth, that they're actually going to, if they do it properly, they're going to spring over three or four teams like Manchester City and Arsenal and Liverpool as far as overall worth just by having this guy. So if you take the Lakers and you merge them with LeBron.
Right.
God, the sky's the limit, right? Because if you want to start taking over these markets in Asia and you want to start taking over these markets in Europe, he's the guy you want.
And you don't want him in Cleveland.
And you don't, yeah, the NBA doesn't really want him in Cleveland for that matter.
Right. But if you're trying to get into Europe, you're trying to get into China, these other cities, these other countries, they've heard of Los Angeles, they've heard of New York, right? I mean, you've probably heard of Cleveland, but it's not the iconic, even as a Chicago Bull, right? He's money going into those markets.
That's right.
As a Cleveland Cavalier, it's kind of
Well, the difference is I think LeBron makes Cleveland a market.
Yeah.
Right? L.A., Cleveland, New York, their markets already that are well known. And as a fun fact, after 1 week, before LeBron even actually officially signed the contract, once he had announced his decision, there's a chart on, I think it was Sports Illustrated or FanGraphs or something that showed where the most LeBron LA jerseys had been sold. LA was number one.
Yeah.
New York was number two. I can't remember number three, but number four was actually Cleveland.
I saw that. That Cleveland was shockingly high. Seems like he, after coming home and winning them a championship, maybe they've forgiven him a little bit, right? And we're okay with this.
Well, they were the mighty losers for years, right? They could not win a title.
Yeah.
They were one of those cities that felt completely, never mind the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Because other teams were winning. This city was cursed. So I think bringing that back for them was, a rallying point. And they, you know, he continues to call himself Akron's son.
Right.
I think like anybody who makes money in Ohio, they always move to the West Coast because why wouldn't you? But as long as he visits every once in a while, I'm sure they'll still take care of him.
So just quickly before we circle off of this, let's take it back to the court for a second. Cleveland's not making the playoffs, right?
Oh, gosh. If they hold on to Kevin Love, I still think they're competing for 7 or 8 spot.
Okay.
I just don't think the East is very good, and they're going to have a chance to at least sneak into a playoff spot. Kevin Love's still a star in this league, and he can still, as a prime player, can still contribute quite handsomely. So they'll be kicking around. I also wouldn't be surprised if they just cut bait on him, and in that case, they will be the worst team in the league. But
yeah, you wonder if this isn't going to be the start of a total rebuild if they can get something for him. And I only bring it up because you had said, you know, that maybe in LA it's a much tougher road through the West, and certainly it is. In the East, you'd kind of go, does he have a shot even on a bad team? Yeah, he does, because the East is just that much weaker. Even if it is him pulling a team, kicking and screaming through the playoffs that shouldn't be making it to the final, he, no matter how well he plays, that's not going to happen in the West, right? They got no chance of coming out of the West.
No, not with the way the team is currently constructed. They've already missed out on Paul George, who decided to stay back in Oklahoma. There's some talk about adding Carmelo Anthony. That's kind of a small positive. That's not going to really change the dial too much.
Yeah,
you're still in on a couple smaller point guards, guys like Kemba Walker from the East, from Charlotte. And there's one more point guard. I think Damian Lillard from Portland's also been rumored to go to LA. The big fish is still Kawhi Leonard. I don't know if that chip's going to fall, mostly because the Spurs and the Lakers are rivals.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Spurs are going to make it easy for the Lakers to get Kawhi unless they literally sell the farm. Right? In which case, you're going to be stuck with those two and some bit players, but it's still not going to be enough to move you over fourth place, let's say, in the West.
Yeah. So this is, you know, to put a bow on it, this is, as you've painted it correctly, a business move and not necessarily a championship move or a competitive move.
I'd say at least for 1 year, possibly two. We'll see what they want to do with some of their prized possessions there, the young guys. What they did, which was interesting, they signed LeBron and then very quickly announced three or four one-year deal signings for some guys who are, let's say, past their prime, but some name recognition guys like Lance Stevenson.
LeBron buddies,
Rajon Rondo, those type of guys. Rajon Rondo, who's still kicking
around.
What's interesting, though, is they signed them all to one-year deals. And there's nothing more prized sometimes in the NBA than an expiring contract, where you got to generally trade contract for contract.
Right.
So for teams who maybe want to shed some contract dollars in the next year or two, trading for expiring contracts can be very beneficial. They don't mind giving up some better players for that type of deal. It also allows them to get into the bidding for a new crop of free agents next year very easily. So they're setting themselves up in a way to have some flexibility.
Yeah.
This year's going to be more about branding, like we've talked about. And then I think moving forward, the thing about the Lakers is you're measured in championships.
Yep.
It's not good enough to just be good. I mean, 20 years from now, we'll have the Raptors back from 2 years ago. We'll probably throw them a little, like, you know, reunion day or a small parade, maybe
the Gilmore Leafs, right? Well, we got to a conference final. We love those guys. You know?
Yeah. Hey, you didn't do too bad, guys. Here's a pat on the back. Come back for a little tour. Maybe we'll put your name up on a banner or something.
Sure.
That's not good enough in Lakerland, right? So the only way to basketball fans that this move becomes a disappointment is if after 4 years he hasn't made it to the finals and hasn't won. And I think it's going to be a hard grind for them to get there. But
because he ain't getting any younger either.
That's it. And if he doesn't get one, it's going to be a hard sell to tell people that this was the right move when we look back on this. Doesn't matter how much, because to the average person like you or me, He's a millionaire. We don't care.
Sure. I mean,
we don't care how much money he has. He already has more money than we'll ever see in our lives.
True, man.
But for a guy who wants to be the best basketball player of all time, if you make this move to the Lakers and you've already shown yourself to be a guy who will move around and bring your buddies in and force your team's hand to make trades to be better, you better win. And you better win with the Lakers.
Jack,
no excuse.
And you're under the bright light. There was a certain amount of, man, look how fucking good this guy is, dragging a bad team in Cleveland into the finals every year. That was admirable. Now the lights are shining on you as a Laker. Better get it done, right? And it's just a totally different ballgame. Let's talk about another big-time merger, man. Brands coming together. The John Tavares brand has moved itself nicely into Toronto and will merge with the Toronto Maple Leafs brand and essentially sink the New York Islanders brand, which is just about fine with me. What was your first reaction? You and I haven't chatted about this since it happened. When did you find out, or how did you find out he was coming? What was your first reaction?
I decided it was a candidate long weekend to take a anti-social media day or weekend.
Yeah.
And I just decided I'm not going to go on any social media, just disconnect for a couple days.
It was the wrong fucking weekend for that, man.
Wrong fucking weekend, my friend. All of a sudden, the text messages start going ding, ding, ding. And I'm like, what is happening? Pick my phone up and I just got this string of text messages that just said JT. The whole way down, just JT. And I just, you know, I let out that emphatic, yeah. It was very reminiscent of when the ping pong balls fell and we got the first overall pick for Austin Matthews.
Yep.
That would have been the last time I was that fucking excited about a guy, you know, coming to the Leafs, because this guy's a game changer. He's a top, God, he's really, it's easy to say he's a top five center in the league. Nobody can argue that. He's probably three or four, depending on how you want to measure your centers.
Yep.
Surprisingly, even though he's been in New York, you know, quote, the Islanders, he's not really a guy who has been used by the league, promoted by the league as much as you would think in that market. He's not a guy like Crosby, who's in your face all the time, or Connor McDavid or Ovechkin, who's always on TV.
Those guys have been on good teams too, right? Like the Islanders have been a joke for a long time. You wonder even if he'd been wearing a Rangers jersey instead of an Islanders jersey, he probably gets a ton more press too, right? Like,
yeah.
And to be fair, and so is Sid and everything. Man, I love John Tavares. He's been one of my favorite players for a long time, back to his Oshawa days. He's dull as shit, right? Like, he is not an interesting guy to listen to.
Hey, so is Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, though. Yeah, you know, you're right, but there's not much personality there.
These guys have been bred to not have personality, right?
Yeah.
Don't forget, I mean, PK Subban is one of the most marketable guys in hockey, and he was essentially booted out unceremoniously from, you know, the most cultured depth team on the planet.
Yeah, how's that going?
Montreal Canadiens, right? and how ridiculous does this look now?
Yeah.
As, again, another guy who's a brand unto himself, and now he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
It's true.
This week. So, you know, hockey players are not supposed to have too much of a personality, but then we also get upset when they don't have enough of a personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Islanders haven't been great. They've just kind of been a steady team for a number of years, but that whole organization's been a little bit of a mess for, gosh, as long as they've had him and before
that. I think it's awfully generous to call them steady, man. It's been three playoff appearances in a decade, like, pretty brutal. Now, compared to the Leafs, who for a long time had no playoff appearances in a decade, I guess that is steady, but, man, they wasted his time there. It's been terrible.
They've absolutely wasted him, and it's interesting to see, and I know you've been following along with this as much as I have on New York Islander Twitter, just to see them flipping out and being upset about it. And
burning jerseys, man, and just calling them all kinds of horrible things, man.
I can get it. I mean, it's always, as fans, we invest so much in our star players and the guys we like.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys aren't owned by anybody, right? Even as fans, we kind of buy into that owner mentality that these guys owe us something, and they don't, right? And a guy who wants to change teams to a team on the upswing, a team with a chance to make some noise that has shown in the last 5 years to have a good management team and a plan in place, and in addition to coming home, and for a guy like JT, who's still young, who hasn't been able to cash in on his brand and his persona, which seems to be the overarching theme of our conversation today.
The business, man.
I know, this is tall can business.
Yeah, for sure.
For anybody who already hates the Leafs, and I know there's tons of you guys out there, get ready to see a lot more JT in your face. He's going to be
by August 15th.
He's a CCM or a Bauer guy, but he's going to be on those commercials. He's going to be on Tim Hortons. He's going to be
Canadian Tire. Everywhere. Everywhere.
Anything you can.
Scotiabank. Like, it's going to be nuts, man.
He's going to be his big fat face, and he's got a big fat one. It's going to be everywhere. And you might actually be able to put Scotiabank Arena right across his forehead and still have some.
Would have loved that. And when they took down the Air Canada Centre signage off the building there last week, they should have just put his grinning mug up there. But you're right, man. This has been one of those things where – and Twitter is such a skewed way to look at the universe. But people who hate the Leafs, they hate the Leafs. And for a while it was easy, right? They were terrible and – oh my God, they get so much attention despite being such a bad team. If you thought it was bad before, it's about to become insufferable, and I can't wait for you to choke on it, right? Because it's been years of shitting all over this. It's been years of the 67 and the parade and the what.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? This team right now is as stacked as any in the league up front. I'm not as down on the defense as a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. It's not a top 10 defense. It's not a, you know, what you traditionally look at. Like, it's not a Niedermeyer, Pronger, Beauchamp, and Anaheim Ducks defense, right? But it's serviceable. They have a goaltender. And this management group has shown they know what they're doing. And so for years, it's been a punching bag. It's been free shots at Leaf fans. And if you've ever been the guy making the 67 joke, if you've ever been the guy making the parade joke, you deserve how insufferable this is about to become. And I promise you, it will be brutal. And I promise you, I will be out at the front of it with a lot of other people. Because we have earned a little happiness. We have earned this.
We have been through our purgatory.
Yeah.
We have been through more ups and downs than many fan groups could ever imagine to go through as Leaf fans. And as you say, if you've been the person making these jokes at the Leafs' expense, half the time it's Leaf fans.
Yeah.
We're our harshest critics, and that's what other fan groups don't get a lot of the time. We are a harsh fan group. We're a critical fan group. A lot of the fan group truly understand hockey, and we don't like the decisions that they make a lot of the time. Guys like Matt Martin getting signed and whichever fighter they signed before him with Burke was still in charge.
Fraser McLaren and Colton Orr taking up most of the line.
I'm thinking of. That's the one. You know, like, this was a long time coming, and a long time coming to the point where we're even in the position where it's actually a good decision for the star like JT to come home. When Stamkos was the guy a couple years ago, there was no chance he was coming to Toronto. It was a nice pipe dream.
We just finished dead last.
Yeah. Why are you giving
up? The Lightning were ready to contend, as they still are. Fuck. They just signed Kucherov for an 8-year extension at $9.5 million. I'll give you the list of people who have more points than him in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Connor McDavid. And end of list, right? So they are loaded up. Toronto is loading up. You know what? We have the right to be happy right now, because I don't blame you for not having your phone on Canada Day. There was no reason for a Leaf fan who's been pounded into the ground for as long as we have to believe this was going to happen, right? They always go back to the team they came from, or they always pick someone else, right? If you actually can take off now that it's happened, the you know, grim glasses, it made a lot of sense. This was always the one that made the most sense. It's a team on the up and come. It's home. They can offer him a ton of money, and they can offer him money outside of, you know, the cap in terms of these sponsorships and stuff like that. The core in San Jose was they're all well over 30. The Leafs are closer to 22. Like, this was the one that made the most sense, and still every one of us just sat back and went, just going through the motions before he goes back to New York and being played as a negotiating chip and whatever. And it blew my mind when I read that he was coming. I'm so stoked, man. I don't remember the last time. I don't know if I've ever been this excited to be a Leafs fan.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a euphoric, I don't even want to say day, because truly the high I had went on for a couple
of
days. It just felt, it felt good. I was like, oh, this is what it's like to be a Yankee fan. You know, like,
well, this is it. Like, there's people in New York who, oh, of course you go home to Toronto. Of fuck you. Mm-hmm. You're New York. Everybody's guy in
everybody sport goes.
Leaves to go to New York. Fuck you for even suggesting that this was unfair to New York. Like, give me a break.
That's just a bunch of bullshit, right? And I also feel, again, to go back to the hockey player standard, right? He's the if he's not the first, he's the second first overall pick to actually leave his team, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure somebody on Twitter can correct me. I know maybe Medano or something. I think it was when Medano left, but he was late in his 30s left. And there may have been one or two guys who have been traded at some point.
Yeah, I don't remember. Scott Niedermeyer might have been number one overall, maybe number two. But he moved, to me, it's Scott Niedermeyer and it's Zdeno Chara are the only two guys who are even close in the salary cap era. Now, Chara wasn't drafted number one overall, but in terms of huge impact players that up and moved on free agency day, this is, to me, the biggest, but I got time for the argument on those two. Everyone else is
boring. Yeah, I think that's my point. It's just, as any hockey fan from any hockey market knows, your top guys just don't leave. It's like the last sport where this just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
In baseball, you know, if you, even a pretty big team like the Washington Nationals, who have a big payroll and big expectations, they kind of have a feeling that Bryce Harper is probably going to leave. Vladdy Guerrero with the Montreal Expos, you knew he was probably going to leave at some point.
Alex Rodriguez went from Seattle to Texas for big money and then Texas to New York for bigger money, right? Randy Johnson ended up a Yankee. Like, all these guys, they move on.
And it just doesn't seem to happen so much in hockey. And he, you know, like, we just went through the list. It doesn't happen a lot, right? So I moderately feel bad for those true 100 fans that they have to be the guys who go through it first. But at the same time, for all the shit that we've gone through as Leaf fans, I just don't give a fuck.
Nope.
And one thing that we, you know, as you said, or kind of alluded to, was what are those other things that the Leafs can offer JT? Well, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but I can say from a Major League Baseball perspective, if you go to the Hall of Fame, if you go to Cooperstown, getting elected to that club is worth about $1 million a year to every guy who's in there.
Right.
Unless you're a Yankee. And probably a Red Sox as well, right?
Yeah.
So if one day John Tavares finds himself in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and let's not joke, they pretty much let anybody into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
It's true. Anyways,
starting with Gary Bettman. Yeah. You know, it's one thing if you go in as a – if you join Mike Bossy, you know, as a Newark Islander, well, great.
Yeah.
That's amazing. If you go in as a Toronto Maple Leaf – the sky is the limit for you. And if you're lucky, if they're lucky enough to, you know, I don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched, but if they give us a better run than we had in 93 with Gilmore, and they give us a better run than they did with Sundin and Roberts in the early 2000s, and we get to the final and we, you know, somehow beat our
team. Say it, man. Allow yourself to believe it, man.
Just say it out loud.
Yeah,
right?
It's possible. If we win a Stanley Cup.
Parade.
Right.
It's hard to say even.
Of course it is.
If we get that, his brand, it won't die, right? He'll have that. It's like Jose Bautista. He'll never have to pay for a meal in Toronto again.
How many alumni games, how many Sport Check openings, how many whatever has it been where You know, Darcy Tucker will be there signing autographs or whatever, right? Guys like that. You're talking about kind of middling second line guys who one time went with the Leafs to a conference final. If the Toronto Maple Leafs win a Stanley Cup with hometown boy John Tavares as the number one center, it doesn't matter if he makes $77 million over the course of the contract. He'll never spend one of them. People will give him homes and meals and anything in this city, man. He will be a god. And so
right.
There was – that's, as you've said, not
we might actually
guaranteed.
We might build him that statue out front of Maple Leaf Park.
We're going to put the number 91 helmet on top of the CN Tower. That's what's going on. No, look, it's not a guarantee. Nothing is. But all these guys who shied away from coming back to Toronto because of the media or because of the team, whatever. This guy didn't at a time when the team is ready to do good things. It would be hard to turn down that, right? When you've seen what guys who never won shit for this team get treated like here, still as gods, go win something and then see what happens. And as an impact guy, like we've talked about mergers and the business of sport and whatever, the salary cap is going to be irrelevant because what people are spending right now on John Tavares jerseys alone is going to bump the cap $5 million, right? Like the Toronto Maple Leafs going deep in the playoffs bumps the cap up again. Like this is a team that impacts everything. It is the financial driver of the league. And him moving here is a game changer. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. This is a real thing. At the Real Sports, at the Air Canada Center, they sold out of A's in the first week after he was signed because there's two of those in Tavares and there was that many jerseys being sold. They ran out of A's in the shop. This is a game changer. This is huge. And Leaf fans have every reason to be excited and they have no reason to listen to anyone tell them that they shouldn't be.
No. And you know what? Everybody in the league should be happy about it because as you said,
except you, Ottawa, you don't get to be happy.
As the Leafs go, you know, the league goes.
Yeah. It's good for the league. Whether you hate, even if you hate the Leafs.
By five teams, including the Leafs.
Yeah. Even if you hate them, this is good business, right? You want to hate the Leafs. You want to boo the Leafs. You want the New England Patriots. You want that passion. You want to see your team beat them. It's good for business. It just is.
That's it. At the end of the day, that's exactly it. And still to this day, or I should say at least the last couple of 2 years or 3 years, the number one selling NFL jersey, it's my man Tom Brady. Still making that league tick.
It's true, man. And I hate the Patriots. But you want that Goliath. You want that Pittsburgh really isn't. It took a long time for people to start to go, I'm sick of Pittsburgh. And it really still doesn't happen that much. Same with Chicago. You're like, all right, enough with the outdoor games, right? But people still don't really hate the Blackhawks. People hate the Leafs or they love the Leafs. Either way, this is a business driver and it's going to be good if we can bump our own salary cap up by doing it, but everyone will come with us. So fair
That's
enough.
Right. Right? It'll just make it a lot easier for us to sign a defenseman next summer. That's
right. It's going to be great. Eric Carlson, he's going to be a great Leaf. Or, you know, Tyler Ennis, that's going to be great too. But
was one way to force the Ottawa Senators back into extinction, it would be for them somehow to trade Carlson to the Western Conference and that GM to turn around and ship him right back to Toronto.
Do it to San Jose. We know they're open for business. They're happy to do it. I'd love that, man. No, it's this is a very unique time for the Toronto Maple Leafs and whatever. But no matter how you feel about the team, get on board, right? Let your hatred run if that's what you're all about. But if you're a Leafs fan, enjoy it, man, because you got a summer right now of excitement that probably hasn't been seen here in I mean, I guess you made the comparison with Austin Matthews, and it's a fair one because there's the centerpiece. You needed to have that go your way to start the rebuild.
Yeah.
But the rebuild is well well underway now, and you're kind of into when you should be contending. And if Tavares had ended up in Boston or Tampa, you're just right. That's so Leafs, right? Like you would have just been
exactly.
It's shit's going our way. We got lucky that Nylander and Marner were available in the draft when we got them. We got lucky to have the balls go our way and the ping pong balls, right, and get Austin Matthews. Things are turning and have turned.
You know what? Sorry, Matt, I'm going to stop you there because I keep seeing that argument come up on Twitter lately. And I keep hearing stuff like, oh, well, they're lucky, you know, Strome got taken third and Mitch Marner was waiting for them at number four. And you're lucky that Nylander was there at 8 or 7 or wherever we got him. And the ping pong balls dropped our way for Austin. You know what another team that happened for? The Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Where they continually got the number one pick, and they've done nothing with it. It goes more. Drafting players is, yes, it's a ton of luck. It's maybe more than 50% luck.
Sure it is.
But you still have to know how to bring your guys up to a system.
Develop
them.
Yeah.
You need to bring them in as a team. They need to learn how to work as a team. You can't just have a group of 18-year-old guys running around on an NHL ice surface. You need to know how to bring guys like Komarov and, God forbid, Matt Martin in at some points to help cultivate these talents.
And then to know when to get rid of them.
And also know when to show them the door.
Yeah. Right? Well, and then in terms of, you know, big moments, in terms of big turns for this team, what you're talking about, development, huge, huge, huge to convince Mike Babcock to come to Toronto, give the whole thing some direction, to put it together. And as we start to wind this down, and I might splice this in here, I remember the day that Mike Babcock signed here. He appeared on Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan and said that we got to make it safe for guys to want to play here. And when it's safe, when we've made it safe, how many Ontario guys are playing in this league? They'll come home. And Bob McCowan says, you really think that? And he goes, trust me, they'll be coming. And they're coming. You're seeing it now.
Yeah.
The biggest one just came.
My point is this, is if we create an environment, when we create an environment that allows these players to be safe, it's going to be way better. The other thing is, how many people from Ontario play in the National Hockey League? Once we make it safe, they're coming home.
You really think people will want to play in Toronto?
You got it. They don't right now.
It's hard.
Oh, it's really hard. Mark my words. They'll be coming.
Huge turn, man. Huge turn of events over the last couple of years to the point where you could set yourself up for this to happen.
Yeah, this doesn't happen overnight, right? We don't just show up at the bargaining table and say, hey, John, here's what we want to do, right? It had to have been years in the making where the Shanna plan had to be put in place. And again, you know, and maybe that's how we got Babcock, right? The ability for the Leafs to help these guys leave a bigger than life legacy.
Yeah.
To go back to LeBron and maybe tie this whole talking together, right? At some point for these guys who have won something or guys who make lots of money and they're going to make lots of money anyways, the ability and the want to build something rather than just show up and work every day.
Right.
And understand that and thrive in that environment. And I think we're seeing that right now. Babcock, Shanahan, and now I can't say Dubas because I'm not even sure he's old enough to get a drink in this city yet. But
younger than us, man. That's so depressing, but whatever. Do it, buddy.
Hey, if that means he's going to be here until he's Lou Lamoriello's age, I'm all in for it.
Absolutely. I think that's about all we got on this one, man. I think we may have lost some people here towards the end who got sick of the Leaf love, but get used to it because there's going to be a lot of that. So appreciate you doing this as always, my man.
Anytime, buddy.
You can give Maddie a follow on Twitter at Matthew Lang. Follow us at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Find the archives at TallCanAudio.com. That's Tall Can Sports. We'll see y'all on the next one.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year!